desire and learn and understand and observe and receive that purpose. Spirit of the living God, we ask you to open our hearts to receive this message that you bring unto us. Let it be transformative. Let it be life-changing. Let it take us, let it begin the journey to taking us to the next level in our walk with you. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
And let the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So like Pastor Chris said, this week we are beginning a series on the spirit man. Your spirit man.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Now,
you know, typically when you hear such a message like the spirit man, you know, it looks quite esoteric. You know, what are you going to talk about the deep things of the spirit and yada, yada, yada. Praise the Lord. And, you know, for a while, I also thought that maybe this is, you know, I need to explain to the people, you know, in the intuition of the spirit and, you know, the speaking in the spirit, the deep collect unto deep. Hallelujah. But then God told me that we need to keep it simple. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, this series is going to be this, your spirit man or your inner man. God's secret to living a fulfilled life. How many of us want to live a fulfilled life? How many of us want to live a life that has meaning and purpose? Praise the Lord. Amen. In this series, you are going to discover how. Praise the Lord. Some of us are already living a life of purpose. So for those of us that have beginning a life of purpose, what you are going to learn from this series will enable you to will enforce it and help you to continue. Some of us are still trying to discover purpose and meaning. And for those of us, this will open the doors. We will begin to bring insight and understanding unto you on what purpose and life is. Amen. What purpose in life is. And I'm here to tell us that God is a spirit. The foundation of everything I'm going to share with you comes from that particular statement. God is spirit. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? God is spirit. God is a spirit. God is not a flesh. God is not a body. God, praise the Lord. If God shows up here, how many of us know that you won't see him? Because it's not, he doesn't have a physical body. Except he takes on a physical body to show you. But if he shows up here as God is, praise the Lord. I was with one man of God and he was describing how humbling it is for God to take on a physical body. It's amazing. Think about it. The God who is here and now at the same time. The omnipotent God. The God who doesn't do a thing. I mean, praise the Lord. When God does something, his energy does not diminish. God doesn't do. And they say, let me take a break. Praise the Lord. God doesn't sleep. God doesn't rest. God is God. God is spirit. God doesn't, is not bound by time. God doesn't say, okay, tomorrow I'm going to do this. Yesterday I did that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when God now came into a human body in Christ Jesus, that was very humbling because then God had to be in time and God had to wake up and sleep. Things that God was not used to. But what I'm trying to bring to you is, today is that God is spirit. And they that worship God, if they like, they should worship him in spirit and truth. Is that what he said?
No,
they must worship him where? In spirit and in truth. And that's why we have to grasp this thing I call the spirit man. Because the spirit man is the secret. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. The spirit of a man is the lamp of God. The spirit man that God has given to you is the secret to your future, to a fulfilled life, to a life of meaning and purpose. Okay, let's go very quickly. I have to try and be faster than I usually am. So please bear with me because I have quite a bit of material to cover today. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes is in the Old Testament. I was telling my wife that, you know, this is one of this series. I think I'm going to have to be projecting the scripture passages because there's a lot of scripture passages to cover and, you know, we need to move quickly. But for today, you know, just bear with me. Praise the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, I'm going to start reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 2, I'm going to start reading from verse 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 from verse 3. If you haven't found the place, just write it down. 3 to verse 11. I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom. How is that possible? He searched in his heart how to gratify his flesh with wine while guiding his heart with wisdom. Apparently, he succeeded. And how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. Verse 4, I made my works great. I built myself houses. I planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards. I planted all kinds of fruit trees and in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants. I had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers. That is MC Hammer, Beyonce, Shakira, praise the Lord. He had all of them. The delights of the sons of men. Musical instruments of all kinds, Mozart, Handel, Beethoven, Tchaikovsky. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. So he did all these things, and his wisdom remained with him. Praise the Lord. So he did it in a legitimate way. He didn't do evil to get it done. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. 11. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed, all was vanity, meaningless. NIV says, who has NIV here? All was meaningless, grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. You know, we all know that death is a terrible thing. Praise the Lord. How many of us agree with me? Death is bad. In Job 14:14, Job, mourning, you know, this issue of death, of a man suffering and then dying and going away. Job 14, Job said, if a man dies, shall he live again? In 2 Samuel 14:14, the woman came to David and made a proverb. He says, David, we all shall surely die. We shall be like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Praise the Lord. Amen? I mean, we all watched recently, in the last couple of days, 3 days, I'm sorry that I have to bring this up, how tragically, you know, an airplane just dropped from the sky. Literally, I mean, the new latest reports that have been coming out is that the plane didn't even actually nosedive. It was just going and boom, just dropped like a rock. And boom, 50 people were gone, died. Yes, you know, they are gone. It's over for them. Praise the Lord. Or at least the world thinks so. If a man dies, shall he live again? So death is terrible. And you know, death is a tragedy to us because there's nothing you can do about it. Praise the Lord. And it happens, and we are all gone forever. You know, in those 3 days ago now, you know, people lost their brothers, people lost their sisters, husband lost their wives, some people lost their mothers, parents. You know, some people became orphans. You know, and the Bible says, you know, death is an enemy. But this morning, I'm here to tell you that there's something worse than death. As bad as death is, there's something worse than death. It is better, or let me put it this way, being alive and not knowing why is worse than being dead and not knowing life. As terrible as death is, a life without meaning is worse than death. A life without purpose. Praise the Lord. Because a life without meaning, I mean, when death goes, boom, bam, gone. But a life without purpose will toil and sweat and walk and get to the end and still die and still say meaningless. Did somebody hear me? Praise the Lord. Church, if you're here, say amen. A life without purpose is worse than being dead. And that's the story that we read in Ecclesiastes. Praise the Lord. Do you know that everything you are praying for, this man had it? Look at it. Job, money, wives, children, land. Everything you are praying for, wisdom. The preacher had it. But the preacher got to the end and said, I looked on all the works of my hands and I said, meaningless. No meaning. Because why is better or more important than what? Why you have something. Why you are here is more important than the fact that you are here. I thought I would hear amen to that. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Why? The reason, the meaning, the purpose of a thing is more important than the thing. Why is that? Because where purpose or meaning is not known, abuse is inevitable. Why you are married is more important than you are married. Because if the purpose or the reason why you are married is not known, abuse of that marriage is inevitable. Praise the Lord. Purpose, reason, the meaning, the preacher of the Ecclesiastes looked at everything he had worked for. All the effort, all the prayer, all the sacrifices, all the acquisitions, and he concluded, all is meaningless. Why? Because when he began, he didn't know why he was going to get all these things. Maybe his friend, because his friends were also getting it. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 And I'm here to tell us today that God has a reason and a purpose. And that is why your life cannot be meaningless. I thought I would hear a bigger amen here. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know, some of us remember how it was, you know. You know, this is how life is. This story that we read in Ecclesiastes, that's how life is. You think that the next thing you get will make you happy. You get there, you discover it's a mirage. How many of us remember when you were told that you are coming to America? You thought that that's the end of all your problems. Praise the Lord. Then, bro, America, here I come. I'm going to America. Oh, praise the Lord. Only for you to get to America, meaningless. Nothing. Praise the Lord. You look at that achievement, worthless. Is this all the suffering is for? Praise the Lord. But I'm here to tell you something. God has a purpose. God has a purpose. And today, you know, another way to describe this message is how to bring back meaning into your life. How to bring back meaning into your life. And you will get it. And say, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you will get it. I don't know, some of us remember how it was when we're, you know, getting married. Ah, hey, God, if you will just let me get married. Once I get married, it is over for me. I know I shall be happy. Hallelujah. Okay. It's 5 years later, 10 years later, the old man with his pot belly snoring by your side. You look at him and you say, meaningless. Worthless. Praise the Lord. I want us to laugh about it. But I want you to know that God has a purpose. And the reason why we are taking this series is that He will enable us to bring a meaning and understand the purpose and see how we can bring meaning back into our lives. Some of us, it was getting a job. If only I can make $60,000, please fast with me. $60,000, we make it. That job! You get the job, they pay you the $60,000, but the people there are worse than Satan. You look at the job, meaningless, worthless. Vanity upon vanity. But I'm here to tell you, God has a purpose. Amen. I say, God has a purpose. Amen. And your life will not be meaningless. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know what it does is that some of us, it has made us, not all of us, but some of us, it has taken the zest out of life. The fire to pursue, the drive that you used to have. Amen. Amen. I used to remember the way I used to study. You know, if only I can just get this degree. Praise the Lord. And so, this type of disappointment can make you, you know, leave you, make you take your foot off the pedal of life because there's no purpose anymore. You just live day in, day out. You lose your zeal. Even as a Christian, if you are honest with yourself, many of us, when you look at Christianity, at least the Christianity you have been practicing, you say, is this really what it is? Is this really all? You know, is this, isn't there more? Praise the Lord. Amen. And so, gradually, we get into this situation, this mindset of, you know, let's just get to heaven. Someday, I shall, you know, you just, heaven is now, you know, just, all our final hope is in now heaven. Heaven is a great place, you know, and we all get there. But, you know, God's purpose is not for us to escape. Rapture is not supposed to escape you. And then have to just go so that we can just go, Joe. So we can escape all this problem, this meaningless life. That's not what rapture is for. Rapture is not to escape out of life. The Bible says, they that have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. Amen. Romans 5:17. Amen. Praise the Lord. And as kings in life, they will be raptured to heaven. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm here to tell us today that we can bring purpose and meaning back into our life. We can be fired up again and ready to go. Fired up! Ready to go. Where are the Obama fans here? Fired up! Ready to go. Fired up! Fired up! Fired up! I can assure you today that by the time I'm done with this message this morning, and even with the series as a whole, you will be fired up and ready to go.
Amen.
You will say, Satan, come on for road. I be bulldozer. I no get you break. I go knock you down. Hallelujah! You will be fired up! Because God has a purpose for you. And let me tell you something. You know, I'm trying to control myself. Because I'm sure you can see I'm trying to control myself because there's so much I want to say. But let me let you into a secret. And I'll continue. That one is what I'll preach next week. By the way, the purpose of God for you is not in heaven.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
It's right there.
Amen.
It's not in heaven.
Amen.
The purpose of God for you has been deposited inside of you. I thought I was going to bring a seed. I forgot. You know, just bear with me for a moment. Assume that this is a seed. This is a seed of an acorn tree. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So when you look at the seed of an acorn tree, what do you see? Praise the Lord. Well, how many of you agree with me that the seed of an acorn, inside the seed of an acorn tree is a what? An acorn tree. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you agree with me.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
So when you look at the seed of the acorn, you say, oh, this is just a seed. You crush it and throw away. Some of you put it in your pot and cook and eat. But what have you just eaten? An acorn tree. Praise the Lord. You will not eat your future in Jesus' name. Because your future is in you. It's not out there.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But you know, all of you that agree with me that the seed of an acorn tree has an acorn tree in it, that you are all wrong. Because inside an acorn tree is what? Are more seeds of acorn. And inside the seeds of acorn are what? More trees. Okay. So when you look at the seed of an acorn tree, what are you looking at? A forest of acorn. So when you eat that seed, what did you just eat? A forest. Your future is not out there. It's right here. All we have to do is to learn how to release it. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Paul in Philippians. Praise the Lord. Lord, give me speed. Amen. Give me speed because I need to cover some stuff today. Philippians chapter 3. Same passage that pastor has been preaching this series that I may know him. I'm going to just continue from there. That's again the text of this message. Or it's an anchor. Text. There are so many texts. But in Philippians chapter 3, Paul, who was crying that I may know him, that I may be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. In verse 12, Paul says, not that I have already attained or I am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal it unto you. God will reveal you how you are thinking otherwise today in Jesus' name. It says, nevertheless, to the degree that you have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. When you look at Paul, Paul doesn't look like somebody who has given up on life. Who has said, you know what, let's enter cruise control. Just do the minimum. Have your quiet time, read the Bible, come to church. Have your quiet time, read the Bible, come to church. And then when time comes, you go by rapture and you go to heaven. When you read that passage, is that what you feel? I mean, he said, I press on. Praise the Lord. Brethren, please, let's consider this text. Paul was the apostle when he's walking, his shadow was healing people. And then he says here, I am pressing on. What is he pressing on to? Praise the Lord. Paul was a man, they would take the handkerchief off his pockets and cancer would vanish. Paul was a man who he said, I went into the third heaven and saw things that my mouth cannot say. And yeah, look at what he says here. You know, I forget the things that are behind. And I look forward. I'm reaching. I'm trying to get something. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why was Paul such an aggressive Christian? Pushing himself, pressing forward. He told us in verse 15 and verse 16. He said he has a particular type of mindset. And that's the mindset I'm going to share with us in this series. You have to have a certain type of mind. You have to have a certain type of thinking. Brethren, let me say something to you that you may already know, but you may have not. Because I write this down. How you think determines how you act. Yes, sir. I'm sure you thought I was going to say something more profound. But it's a powerful statement. If you want to change how you are acting, do you know what you should change? How you think. When you change how you think about yourself, when you change how you think about God, when you change how you think about your future, when you change how you think about the potential, the purpose of God for your life, how you act will change. What you see will change when you change how you think. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's why Paul said, you should have this type of mind. In chapter 2, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Your mind. Let me make another announcement. Write this down. Do you know where the battle for your life is in your mind. Win the battle in your mind, you have won. Lose the battle in your mind, you have lost. But you will win today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to go on to conclude. Well, not conclude. I'm going to go on now to share with you three. There are three essential mindsets. There are three things you must always keep in your mind so that you can tap into your spirit man, into the future that God has created for you. Now, this is where it begins to get exciting. Amen. Because some of what I've already said, some of us already know. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to share one today. There are three of them. The first one is, you must always keep in your mind, write this down. You must always keep in your mind that God has a meaning and a purpose for your life. That's the topic of what I'm going to share and conclude today. Number two, the next thing you must always keep in your mind. You must always keep in your mind, that's for next week, that God has deposited the meaning and purpose of your life in your spirit man. Praise the Lord. And then finally, number three, which is going to be the third series. You must always keep in mind that it is you who will work out the future that has been deposited in your spirit man. Praise the Lord. So let us start from the beginning. You must keep in mind that God has a meaning and a purpose for your life. First of all, remember, now, everything I'm going to talk about here is happening in the realm of the spirit. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? If you are with me, say amen. Amen. If you are being blessed, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 46 from verse 8. That's the scripture we are going to conclude on. Isaiah 46, 8 to 10. This is where it begins to become exciting. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 46, 8 to 10. In Isaiah chapter 46, verse 8 to 10, the Bible says, remember this. Everybody say remember. Remember. Turn to your neighbor, neighbor say remember. You see, when God tells you to remember, you need to pay attention because man easily forgets. What God was going to say in Isaiah chapter 46, going forward, verse 8 to verse 10, we easily forget it. And so in verse 8, he starts by telling us to do what? To remember. Say, remember. Remember. Remember this and show yourself, men. Recall to your mind. Keep this in your mind, all you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. Now, what you remember? Verse 9. For I am God. Hey, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. So, God says, remember one thing, that I am God. Woo! Remember that I am God! Why would God remind you to remember that He's God? He said, not only that I'm God, catch this. He said, I am God like no other God. There's no other God like me. Why is there no other God like me? Look at what he said. He said, there's no other God like me. Why? Because I declare the end from the beginning. And from the ancient times, things that are not yet done. And I say, my purpose shall stand. And I will do all my pleasure. Let me tell you what God is saying there. God is saying that I'm different from other gods. How? God says I'm different from other gods because before I begin something, I finish it. Are you with me? God says, before I begin anything, before the beginning begins, I get to the end. And I complete it. And it is finished. Everything is done. Complete. Then, I go to the beginning. And then we begin. Praise the Lord. So before God begins something, the thing has already finished. Oh my God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The implication of this is that God never begins anything that he hasn't finished. Hallelujah. And it means that whenever God begins something, it is an evidence that the thing has finished. Otherwise, God will not begin it. Did somebody hear me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The fact that you are here is evidence that God has finished you. Otherwise, you won't be here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And let me tell us something. The end that God has finished is the purpose of God. That's why he now says, I then come to the beginning. And then I say, that is the end. And the end must come. Because he will never begin it unless he had finished it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me tell us something. Everything that God does it like this. Everything. That's why he told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1. He said, before you were born, before you were conceived in your mother's womb, what happened? I knew you. And I called you prophets to the nations. Hallelujah. Amen. And then I now came to your mother's womb. And then I now put you. I said, okay, start. Prophets to the nations. Hallelujah! Amen! You know, when Jeremiah, I don't know how Jeremiah, maybe Jeremiah was 20. God now came to him, he said, Jeremiah, prophet, Jeremiah said, Hey, I'm not a child. I'm still sucking my mother's breast. He said, Jeremiah, I know you. Because I finished you and called you prophets of the nation before I even started you. Hallelujah. So, I tell you, my purpose must stand. Let me tell you something. The purpose for God for your life must stand. Your future is certain. Can somebody say my future is certain? Hallelujah. Oh, you don't get this. You are not getting this. Praise the Lord. You are not getting. That's why Paul said. You know why Paul was pressing? In Galatians chapter 2, Paul said, God separated me from my mother's. Before I was conceived in my mother's womb, called me apostle to the Gentiles. I said, how can I be apostle to the Gentiles? I haven't preached in Rome yet. He said, there's the end, yeah. I must get to it. Ah, but Paul, you have healed the sick, I know. But there's an end. Hallelujah. Hey, but Paul, you have a cast. I know. But there's an end. I must be in Rome. I must preach to Caesar. Because I am the apostle to the Gentiles. Did he do it? He did it. That's why in 2 Timothy, when he got to the end, he told Timothy, I have finished the race.
Hallelujah.
I have come to the end. Now is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Brethren, I am here to tell you, you will get to your end.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear that. That's not a believing name. I said, you will get to your end.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I am here to tell you that you existed before you manifested.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
How many of us remember Joseph in the Bible? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Little Joseph, 17 years old. Before he went to Egypt. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. You know, when at the beginning, God now shows you the end. That's what we call vision.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. That's what you call vision. God now, you see, that end, that's why some of us, you have a dream, you can't shake it off. You know that there's something God has called you to do. Praise the Lord. You have a job, the job is making you sad because the job is not the vision.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The job is so crazy, you tell people think you are crazy. Joseph, before he was born, God finished him. Prince of Egypt. Savior of the world. You will give food in a time of famine. Because of you, the seed of the Messiah will be preserved. You will be next to Pharaoh. Mighty in Israel. At the beginning, the mother could not even conceive.
Amen.
Sit down.
Hallelujah.
Rachel
Hallelujah.
Could not even get pregnant.
Yes.
Hey! Are you with me, somebody?
Amen.
Rachel could not even get pregnant. Then she got pregnant. Small boy. The father was, you know, love him. Then one day, God showed him the end. In time. He couldn't believe it. He went to his father. He said, Father, God said, I'm going to save you. He told the brothers, God said, you're going to eat out of my hand. Because God has made me something great. Hallelujah! Hey! The people say, not don't lose for your head. You are out of your mind. There's Reuben. There's Simeon. There's Levi. There's Judah. There's Naphtali. There's Dan. Ten other brothers. God is going to bypass all of them and come to you. Who do you think you are? Praise the Lord. God has a purpose. You must always remember. God has a purpose for your life. You know, seated in this place, there are people here. God has shown you. worldwide minister, pastor of 50,000 member church. Somebody listen to me. Turning the world upside down. Ministry to Darfur. Ministry to China. Ministry to Mongolia. Are you with me? But then in the beginning, church of three people. We can't even get the music right. We are still trying to move on. Hallelujah! Amen! Amen! Let me tell you something. God says his purpose will stand. His purpose is more powerful than your presence. His purpose is more powerful than your opposition. His purpose is more powerful than any disappointment. And so, when you are here in time and you see your purpose, you begin to walk and you begin to go. Is that man of God? Why are you wasting your time? Go and get the joy. He said, no, you haven't seen what I saw. 50,000 people saved, transformed. Hallelujah! Amen. You must always remember, God is God. He has a purpose. You know, there are some of us in this place, you know, world New York bestseller author. 100 million copies sold. Read by the whole world and transformed lives. Is somebody with me? Amen. That's the end. But at the beginning now, your professors tell you that you are a C student. You better go for that. Hallelujah! You better go and find something to do. You better drop out. Praise the Lord. I want you to know something. Oh, Holy Ghost, you help me. God has a purpose for you. In Proverbs 19:21, the Bible says, many are the plans of men, but the purpose of God, it will stand. I said the purpose of God for your life will stand. Because God has finished the purpose. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? See how much more time I've got. Okay. About to round up. You know, it's the same thing with Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of us, nobody in this church believes that anymore. But a lot of Christians still believe that Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago. No. The Bible says that, behold the Lamb of God. Who was slain when? Before the world began. So, God finished Jesus. Lamb of God. You will die on the cross. You will resurrect. And then you will draw all men unto me. Praise the Lord. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was born. Hallelujah. So when the Pharisees came to him and said, we will kill you. He said, that's why I'm here. I'm here to die. Hallelujah. He said, I'm here to die. For this purpose was I born, that I may die. Hallelujah. You can't kill a dead man. Because the purpose of God was that. And that's why in Hebrews the Bible says, when Jesus saw the end, the glory that was before him, he endured the cross. He endured opposition. He endured trial. He endured immigration. He endured pain. He endured suffering. And at the end of the day, he got to his end. I'm here to tell you that you will get to your end. If you believe it, shout a big amen. Let me tell you something as I begin to conclude. The purpose of God will stand. Purpose is more important than anything. More powerful than opposition. More powerful than disappointment along the way. What? And let me tell us another thing. If God has shown you your end, why he brought you to America, why he saved you, why he put you in that marriage, why he called you at a time where that you have been called. Look at Esther. I can go through the whole Bible filled with this type of examples. Are you with me? And then you are at this time. You saw the end.
But you see disappointment. But you look up, you see, you saw ahead of you the purpose, the end, the goal that God has set for you. But you look at now, difficulty, sickness, challenges. Let me tell you something. If what you saw is different from what you see, then what you see is temporary.
Amen.
Let me say it again. Write this down. If what God has shown you is your end, is different from what you are seeing now, then it's temporary. Don't worry about it. In a matter of time, it will pass away. Did somebody hear what I said? I say it will pass away. It is temporary. What do you think? How do you think Joseph felt when he was thrown into the pit? He said, Joseph, I thought you saw a vision that you will be the king. He looks around. He says, but this is, I'm not a king yet. He said, well, it's temporary. It's temporary. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This too will come to pass. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 And then they were asking, he said, Joseph, yeah. So he will be inside the pit. He will be singing, I am rejoiced. You will be glad. Joseph, why are you singing? Because it is temporary. I know what I saw. Hallelujah! Amen! I know what I saw. God's purpose for you must stand. And I'm here to tell us, it doesn't matter what you have gone through. It doesn't matter what you are seeing now. God has finished your end.
Amen.
And you must keep it at the back of your mind. Your marriage has been finished. Are you with me? Your children have been... Forget about the fact that you don't see the children now. It is temporary.
Amen. Hallelujah!
Amen. Amen! If God has shown you the end, His counsel must stand. Forget about the fact that you are facing challenges now. You haven't gotten the job yet. It is temporary. Because God has finished. Forget about the fact that your marriage is a struggle. God has finished it. Because God doesn't make accidents. Praise the Lord. Forget about the fact that no sister is saying yes to you or no brother is coming your way. God has chosen you and has made you, called into a loving relationship that will bring forth a godly offspring.
Yes, sir.
That's what God told me when I was getting married. He said, that's why I don't worry. I don't lose any sleep. He said, for this purpose have I joined you to your wife to bring forth a godly offspring. That's in Malachi chapter 2. I think it's verse 11. To bring forth a godly offspring. That's what God told me before I got married. So I've seen it. So people say, but okay, see, I say, they haven't come yet. Because they will come. Because I've seen them. I said, because I've seen them. Hallelujah! Because I have seen them. They will come. Ah! Praise the Lord. Brethren, let me tell you something that will surprise you. I don't know if you have realized it. Do you know that God has spoken everything about your life? Every single thing. So now when I go to the Bible, I'm looking for what He has spoken about me. When they came to John the Baptist, they said, John the Baptist, who are you? Why did he not answer, I am John by Zachary? John, son of Zacharias. Is that not who he is? But what did he say he was? A voice in the wilderness. Praise the Lord. Who are you? Who are you? You are what God has spoken.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. You are what God has spoken. In the name of Jesus. I would like us to bow our heads or to rise up. I've come to the end. We must always keep in mind that God has a meaning and a purpose for our life that has been finished.
The meaning and the purpose of God for our life has been finished. Praise the Lord. I want to give us an assignment. If what you are seeing now is different from what God has shown you, then you must know that it is temporary. Before next Sunday, I want you to write down 5 things that you know are temporary in your life. Because that's not what God showed you. Amen. Sickness in your body has to be temporary. Because God didn't put sickness in you. Amen. Hallelujah. Challenges in your academics must be temporary. Because God said, I will make you the head and not the tail. Hallelujah. I want you to write down 5 things that you know are temporary. And begin to praise God because they are temporary. Challenges in your marriage is temporary. Because God has brought you into a loving relationship. Financial difficulty. No money in your pocket is temporary. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Next week, I'm going to be sharing with us to say that all that God has finished, He has deposited in your inner man, in your spirit man. Your future is not out there, your future is in here. I want you to just go ahead and begin to say, Father, I give you praise. Help me, Lord, to keep this always in mind, that you have a purpose and you have a reason. And you have finished the purpose before my life began. Now it is up to you to get to the end. Hallelujah. I want to say, Lord, I will get there. I will get there. I will get there, Lord. I will get there, Lord. I will get there, Lord.